This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Turning our attention to the Middle East and what's going on in Israel, snap elections were held last week to appoint 120 members to the Israeli parliament on Knesset. Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party won 31 seats and lost out to the Blue and White Alliance, which won 33 seats. So now there is a stalemate between the incumbent Likud party as well as the centrist Blue and White party led by Benny Gantz.
Yeah, so as a result, I think negotiation is taking place at the moment as to whom is going to form, how they're going to form the next government. Significant development in the aftermath of the election is the position taken by the by Arab lawmakers. Arab lawmakers are represented by joint list and alliance of predominantly Arab parties that hold about 13 seats in total. Is the Knesset, I think that's how it's pronounced, and the joint list recommended Mr. Gantz to form a government.
They don't like him and they would not participate in a government led by him, but they also at the same time want to unseat Mr. Netanyahu. So they're kind of caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. But the latest news is that the two sides have agreed to begin talks for a possible power sharing deal. Now the question remains as to who would hold the premiership and how a unity government would actually operate.
So to make more sense of this, we now turn to James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute in Singapore. Good morning, James, and thanks for joining us again. The two sides are in talks right now to form a unity government. How likely is this outcome and who do you think holds the upper hand in these negotiations?
I mean, essentially, what one has to understand about Israeli politics, particularly in the immediate period of cabinet formation after an election, is it amounts to horse trading. The president of Israel wants to avoid a third election, and yet you have a stalemate basically with the election result. The stumbling block in all of this are attitudes towards the current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, whereby Benny Gantz of the Blue White Party, as well as Avigdor Lieberman, who heads a right-wing party of his own, refused to sit down or participate in a government that would be led by Netanyahu, while Netanyahu's Likud party refuses to dump their leader. You've now had a situation in which two things have happened in the last 24 to 48 hours. One is that Benny Gantz's position has weakened slightly because three of the members of the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, who belong to the joint Arab list, have withdrawn their support for Benny Gantz. And you're having a meeting between Benny Gantz and Netanyahu at the presidential residence. So we'll have to see what comes out of that.
And Benjamin Netanyahu has been prime minister since 2009, but support for his leadership has been waning steadily since. Why is he losing support?
I think he's losing support for two reasons. One is he's embroiled in multiple corruption cases, and therefore that casts a shadow over him. And we're going to see what happens next week when there's a pre-indictment hearing. And the Attorney General could actually influence the outcome of this election or how these negotiations take place if he were to, in effect, fast-track indictment of Netanyahu so that he would be indicted prior to the formation of a government. And that would make it almost impossible for him to become prime minister. More fundamentally, I think if you wanted to identify what an Israeli mainstream really agrees on, it's two things. One is they don't like the ultra-religious, and they are concerned about the loyalties and the positions of Israeli Palestinians. Netanyahu increasingly has been forced to rely for his success or the results that he achieved in the Israeli election on very far right-wing parties and the ultra-religious. And that is one another reason why part of the Israeli public is starting to turn on Netanyahu.
And James, how would you describe Benny Gantz and the policies his party stands for? Would he bring a different approach to the Middle East peace talks?
I think he's going to bring a different tone. Whether he's fundamentally going to bring a different policy, I think is questionable, which means also that even if he is capable of forming a government that would rely on support of Palestinian Israeli members of parliament, that support could prove to be very fragile.
Yeah, that's right, James, because we find that right now the Arab Joint List is number three on the party that has garnered the number of votes. Do you find that they are now in a position of kingmaker, the Joint List?
Since you have two kingmakers, one is the Israeli-Palestinian Alliance, which has emerged as the third largest party in the Israeli parliament, which is a significant success and says something about the turnout Israeli-Palestinians had in order to prevent Netanyahu from winning this election. But the other kingmaker is also Avigdor Lieberman, whom I mentioned before. Now, his position is crucial in the sense that he advocates a national unity government, as does to a degree Benny Gantz, or he's willing to entertain. But that has to be a government without Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, the one compromise formula that presumably the Israeli President Rifkin is going to try and hammer out would be one in which you have a rotating prime ministership. But if you have that, then the question is going to be who goes first. And for Netanyahu, it would be sine qua non, an absolute necessity for him to be the first prime minister in the rotation, because that's the period in which he is threatened with indictment.
James, this stalemate in Israeli elections, what does it mean for the geopolitics of the region?
I'm not sure it means that much, frankly. So, with other words, whether Netanyahu or is in power, or Benny Gantz, in whatever coalition formation, both will try and maintain the close relations, unofficial relations or informal relations, that they have with various Gulf states. At the same time, both are not fundamentally different in their approach towards the resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Gantz, rather than Netanyahu, does not have the kind of relationship or personal relationships that Netanyahu has with particularly the Trump administration. Now, having said that, the Trump administration post-election has not been all that warm towards Benjamin Netanyahu. They've taken more a position of, Trump has said that himself, our relationship is with Israel, it's not with Netanyahu. So they're really waiting to see how the post-election horse trading evolves.
Thanks so much. Good of you to join us. And that was James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute in Singapore. So not much expectations then in terms of the peace process.
Yeah, so I mean, just to look back, I think it's the three of the members of the joint list declined to give either Mr. Gantz as well as Mr. Netanyahu their backing, including the influential ballot party lawmaker Ahmed Tibi. And, you know, Arab parties has, you know, previously have always often been sidelined when it comes to Israeli politics, even as the Arab population in Israel has grown to about a fifth.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.